Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Welcome back. Sports Radio 94 WIP. Joe Giglio with you. Tucker Bagley on the other side of the glass. John Johnson on the updates. No place the city of Philadelphia would rather be on Valentine's Day night than right here on the evening show as we debate Phillies, Sixers, next 5 years. Who would you bet on to have the bigger success and give you more as a fan? I go Phillies. Tucker goes Sixers on this. I mean, Tucker's wrong, but we let him be wrong on this one. It is the Phillies by nature of the sport, by Bryce Harper, Girardi, and, of course, the ownership here with the Phillies, which I want to touch on here. And we'll go back to the phone lines and also talking sports heartbreak over the years because there's so much of it. And tonight, Valentine's Day, probably a night we should vent a little bit and get it off our chest and kind of, you know, just move on. I think tonight's night we can move on from it. Tell us your sports heartbreak. We could all move on from the ones we've had. But I want to hit on the Phillies for a couple minutes here because today it's like they're rolling them out in stages. The other day was Girardi, and he gave his state of Joe Girardi, basically, as he comes in to manage the Phillies. Then it was Klentak yesterday as he gives kind of the state of the Phillies union. And then today it's old Andy McPhail, who whenever we start to feel a little bit better about the Phillies, they roll McPhail back out to just make you feel like garbage about the franchise. I have to say, at this point, Andy McPhail is so good at what he does in making us feel worse about the team that it's actually impressive. Every time Andy McPhail speaks, I feel worse about where the Phillies are going. And sometimes, he's speaking in generalities. I don't think he's trying to be that. It's just his personality. He's very bland. He's very boring. And he really speaks like in a way that is the opposite of getting you excited. Maybe the guy's just doing his job, but I don't know why they put him in front of the microphone to do these things. Anyway, today he does his kind of state of Andy McPhail, state of the Phillies thing. And at one point, a good question, actually a couple good questions, about the luxury tax, the thing we've been yelling about and talking about and trying to figure out what the heck the Phillies are doing with this luxury tax, why they won't go over, why they basically stopped adding to their team after signing Wheeler and Didi. And how much of this is really because they won't, because they're not going to do this. So Andy McPhail today sat there and he tried to wax poetic about his feelings on the tax, about his feelings on the Phillies with the tax, and what he hopes is going to happen here. Here's Andy McPhail this afternoon down in Clearwater speaking on what he believes is the Phillies' kind of MO and direction with the tax.
Can you explain to us why a team would be so steadfast in not wanting to go over that, the penalties beyond the tax? Why would a team be reluctant to go over that limit?
Speaking for the Phillies and their ownership, we're not reluctant to go over it. And it's not an impenetrable barrier by any stretch. It's my hope and, frankly, my expectation that we're going to exceed it this year. But nobody can live over it. The penalties are too severe, not just economically, but it grabs you every different way. Your draft choices get diluted coming and going. If you were to lose a qualified free agent, your draft choices get diluted. They'll hit you in every – you sign guys, it's additional draft picks. They take away your international money. Every team that's been over that for a couple years in a row, New York, Los Angeles, Boston. You have to reset as a practical matter. I know people in Boston don't like to hear that right now, but it is way too severe. That's why it has an effect. But going over it once and paying the penalty once, that's not a big deal. But what if you want to do it the next year? And then you get into that second recidivism tax. And then they start taking more picks from you, and you lose more international money. It bites you in every different way. So it's something that absolutely categorically has to be managed in my mind, but it is not something that it's an impenetrable barrier you don't go over. Our ownership doesn't feel that way, but it absolutely has to be managed, and you don't go over it cavalierly. You don't go over it to be a 500 team.
I mean, everything about that minute and 40 seconds makes my head explode. Everything, because it's incongruent and it doesn't make any sense. Like, he's talking out of both sides of his mouth there. Andy McPhail's trying to explain to us, and I think he tried to dumb it down as well as possible. And I do think there's something to be learned from what he was trying to say in terms of penalties, in terms of it's not just about money that maybe we don't talk enough about. But he's also being disingenuous. Andy McPhail was talking there about the penalties in terms of draft picks, in terms of losing slots in the draft that occur to teams that go over by $40 million. The Phillies won't go over by one penny. And he's telling us what will happen if they go over by $40 million. Like, the leaps he's taking to explain why they won't pay for more good players is insane. It is insane. And then to say that, but on the other side, say, look, I expect us to go over. I think we're going to go over. I think we're going to do that at some point this season. Well, wait a second. Wait a second, Andy. Wait a second, Matt. Wait a second, John. This is the part that has driven me crazy now for months. The idea the Phillies have in their minds that if they're good enough in July, then we'll go over the tax. Well, if you went over the tax this winter, you'd probably give yourself a way better chance of being in it in July. This is the analogy I've used all winter. I will use it again today because it was brought up again today. This is like the student saying, look, if I'll cram for the exam the night before. You know, as long as I have a C average and I could bump it up to a B, I'll try for that final exam. Well, why don't you try the whole semester? Like, then you'll have a better chance to get the grade you want. Like, this is just, it's a ridiculous premise. Like, listen, we're not going to really go all in because we're not sure if we're smart enough or good enough in this instance to really do it. But then get to July, if we're in it, we're all in then. But you could be better the whole season if you just tried more this winter or now with the whole Chris Bryant thing. So that was just mind-boggling. One, to hear him give excuses for if they're $40 million over, which they're not going to be. And then two, to talk about, well, you know, I expect us to get there as the season goes along. We just don't really want to do it right now. Those two things don't make sense. They don't go together. Also, he touched on the idea of repeat offenders. The Phillies have never done this before. They're not a repeat offender. Nothing would happen to them. They have a lot of money coming off their books next year. Teams often go over for a year, go over for 2 years, and then cycle back and get under. The Yankees have done this. The Dodgers have done this. Just because you go over once doesn't mean you have to go over in perpetuity for the next 50 years. Like, it's almost sometimes when the Phillies speak, I think they think we're stupid and we can't read what this stuff is all about. Like, this isn't rocket science. It takes you 10 minutes to go on Google and read up on the rules and the penalties and what it all means and what it all kind of shakes out to. It is about money. Like, why don't they just say it? Because they know we'll yell about it. Well, I'm yelling anyway. It's just frustrating as we get closer to the season and spring training actually truly gets underway with the position players rolling in. To have this, to have Andy McPhail try to explain their lack of actually trying to go for it. And then again reiterating that they don't want to go over for a 500-ish team. Like, Tucker, do you think Andy McPhail realizes what he's saying? Do you think John Middleton realized what they're saying? Like, in October, Middleton said he would go over the tax for a team he believes can win the World Series, not a team competing for the second wild card. Today, McPhail said they would go over, but they don't want to go over for a 500-ish kind of season. Like, they're in so many words telling the guys in that spring training right now, we don't think you're actually good enough.
And compare that to what Matt Klentak said yesterday, right? Like, Matt Klentak was genuinely optimistic about this team. Joe Girardi has been genuinely optimistic about this team,
right,
which Girardi has to be, right? Like, Girardi can't say these guys suck and then go in the clubhouse and expect them to play for him.
Yeah, he's got to convince
them. He's got to be positive. So put him aside. It's like these guys just go out and do these press conferences without kind of coming together and coming up with one general focus. They don't have one general idea, one general motive that they can put out to us. It's like they think, well, Matt may have said that yesterday, but I'm just going to say something different. It's not like people watched both press conferences.
Well, I mean, if you're alluding to the idea that the Phillies don't have a strong united front, I think you're onto something. Just go back to October when the three of those guys sat there when they fired Gabe, and when one had his arms crossed, looked like he was about to cry. The other one looked like he didn't know where he was supposed to be, and the other one was like, had smoke coming out of his ears because he was mad the way the season went. They're never on the same page, ever. 888-729-9494. Did the McPhail stuff bother you like it bothered me? Because it's just, I'll put it this way. The tax thing with the Phillies drives me crazy. I heard John Marks on the way in, and he was making the case that, look, they've spent a lot of money, that we can't complain about the money they've spent. And when you look at their payroll, just look at it versus other teams, take a 10,000-foot view, I understand his point. They are spending a lot of money. John Middleton has spent hundreds of millions of dollars over the last few years on this team. They're still not good enough. But when you look at it through the details, through the weeds of it, none of it makes sense. It doesn't make any sense, and it feels like a team hedging their bets, that they don't really believe they're that good, and they don't want to waste any more money on a team not that good. Well, then why did they do all this stuff? Like, the way I feel about teams and sports is that you can't unopen the window when you open it. Like, Tucker, they may have built this wrong. They may have sped up this process too quickly, but, like, you can't undo it now. You have Real Muto now with 1 year left on his contract. You have Bryce Harper. Zach Wheeler's 30. Like, you can't say, well, 2 years from now we'll really go for it. They made their window now. Whether or not they're good enough is irrelevant.
Yeah, I mean, just because you're a newly contending team doesn't mean you're a young team, which the Phillies are not by any stretch of the imagination.
No.
And even Bryce Harper. Like, we keep talking about Bryce Harper's going to be here for another 12 years. That may very well be true, but is this Bryce Harper going to be here for another 12 years?
No.
Because I think Bryce Harper has, like, 3 years left in his prime, maybe. Possibly 4 if he stays healthy. Like, this team is built to win now with some players, and with other players they aren't. And this, the John Middleton thing, what bothers me is the dysfunction in this front office, this dysfunction between him and Matt Klentak and Andy McPhail. This isn't a baseball thing, right? Like, John Middleton doesn't have a baseball background, but he's built successful businesses. Mm-hmm. You need a united front to build a successful business. Like, the fact that he can't see that this group of guys, this group of people in the front office wouldn't succeed making cigars, wouldn't succeed in the movie business, wouldn't succeed doing anything else, it's shocking to me.
I mean, at this point, I don't think McPhail and Klentak could succeed, you know, running a corner deli.
Like, a fruit stand.
Yeah, I don't know what they could do at a high level. 888-729-9494. That is how you hop aboard. All right, I'm frustrated with the McPhail thing today. The luxury tax is bothering me all offseason. And over the next 5 years, Sixers or Phillies? Yes, I just ripped the Phillies, but I would still take them over the next 5 years to have more success over the Sixers. 888-729-9494. Kashmir Potsdam, what's up, buddy?
Hey, what's going on there, Joe?
How you doing?
So I pretty much first I got to say, I mean, it's just pretty much about what you just said. I mean, and that's why who you would take in the next 5 years, I got to go with the Sixers. I'm sorry. The reason why I go with the Sixers and I follow baseball more than I follow basketball is just look at the dysfunction you have in the front office on the other side. I mean, you can't trust any of these incompetent nitwits to do anything right, because just a couple of years ago, this was the same Matt Klentak and the same Andy McPhail that decided to draft Andrew Knapp instead of Cody Bellinger. Well, how'd that work out? I mean, it's just stuff like that where, I mean, the Phillies have Bryce Harper and they've got JT Realmuto, who's maybe here for another year, I think, and, you know, Aaron Nola, and that's great. But here's the thing. The 76ers at least have Ben Simmons. They've got Joel Embiid if he can somehow take care of himself. And here's the thing. Just like last year and the last couple of years, the Sixers were really close. I mean, if that bucket does not go in by Kawhi Leonard in Game 7 last year, who knows? Maybe it's the Sixers going on in the NBA Finals. You just don't know.
Maybe. I mean,
Yeah, I hear you, but I think there's
been some revisionist kind of memories on that game and that series. Like, you're right. If the bucket doesn't go in, obviously the Raptors don't win the game. The Sixers still have to go to overtime and beat the Raptors, and then they have to beat the Bucks. I don't know if either of those things happen.
That's true. Yeah, but I mean, here's the thing. But at least they had more success. I mean, the Phillies can't even get to July without being in the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, without being in the playoff lines. I mean, that's just incompetence right there. So that I just got to go with probably the Sixers. And for my sports memory, for my
heartbreak
heart memory, obviously heartbreak. Well, like I told you, everyone knows I'm a Falcons fan.
28-3. It's
28-3. That broke my heart. You want to talk about heartbreak? I couldn't sleep for a month. That really broke my heart.
Well, Kat, before you go, did you have flashbacks watching Kyle Shanahan coach the 49ers 3 weeks ago?
Oh, it was the same thing. When you have the ball and you have second down, the clock running, and you're running the football very well, and you decide to throw it.
Yeah, it's crazy. It's crazy.
You have another great quarterback. It was flashbacks.
Yeah, and I think Shanahan's a really good coach, but it is amazing that two times in a very short span he had very similar kind of endings to Super Bowls where he's got it. Like they have the game. 28-3 is different than 20-10 against Patrick Mahomes, but they had it. Like I think everyone felt the same way. The Falcons had that game at 28-3, and the Niners with their defense and their run game, they had the game at 20-10, and then all of a sudden it was like, nope, not going to happen here. 888-729-9494. That's how you hop in. I just want to make sure we level the playing field here, though, because I mean, obviously that was a ringer for Tucker's side here on the calls to get one in for the Sixers. He mentioned the dysfunction, which we were talking about in the Phillies. Well, I mean, let's not pretend the Sixers don't have dysfunction. They signed Elton Brand. Their front office came together and said, you know what we need? Or not Elton Brand. They signed Al Horford. Like, they have their own dysfunction over there. I mean, they have player dysfunction. At least the Phillies don't really have that.
Well, because they don't have talented players.
Well, I mean, they have Bryce Harper.
Yeah, but, like,
Bryce Harper doesn't cause any ripples.
Is Bryce Harper as good in baseball as, like, Joel Embiid or Ben Simmons? Like, no. I would say both Joel Embiid and Ben Simmons are top 20 NBA players. Right?
Yeah, I think Harper's... I mean, Harper and Simmons are a close tier. Like, they're both in the 20-30 range
right,
of their
I think
sport.
Harper ranked, what, 33rd in the MLB Network
that's
thing?
That's
fair. Like, I just don't think, maybe 5 years ago when he won MVP, he was on the same level as those guys. But it's different
in baseball. But you don't need it. In baseball, who needs top five talent to win anything? You need an overall roster of talent, like the Nationals or the Astros or the Yankees probably this year, whatever. But in basketball, you need that special all-time great talent. In baseball, you don't. I mean, the Royals won a World Series. The Royals. Who would they have in terms of like, wow.
Billy Butler.
Yeah, Mike Moustakas and Alex Gordon. I mean, that's nice.
Salvador Perez.
Yeah, and they had some nice players. But, yeah, talent-wise.
Who's the pitchers on that team?
They traded for Johnny Cueto that year. So, I mean, he was pretty good in his moment. They had a great bullpen, but they didn't have much as starter. They were an odd World Series champion. 888-729-9494, #9494. That's how you get in. Give us your sports heartbreak as we try to kind of get it off our chest tonight on this Valentine's Day night. And if you're as frustrated with Andy McPhail and the Phillies as I am, we can vent together. Or maybe you think they don't have to go over the tax, that all this is just us telling billionaires how they should spend their money. Here's what I want. I want to see the Phillies back in the playoffs, and I think they stopped short in getting there. And over the next 5 years, I'll take the Phillies over the Sixers. I'd rather bet on them. Tucker says the Sixers. How about you? 888-729-9494. That is how you hop in here. We're on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
We get it. Attention spans just aren't what they used to be. Heads in social media and eyes on Netflix. But what do people do with their ears? Well, for one, they're listening to audio. Americans spend 4.4 hours with audio every day. Oh, and you want the proof? Well, you just sat through this ad that's now approaching 30 seconds. What could you say to a potential customer in 30 seconds? Let Odyssey put together a media plan tailor-made for your unique marketing needs. Advertise with Odyssey. Visit ads.odyssey.com.